Now the final part of verse 1 of chapter 17 says this, the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And that gives us another very important clue about the true identity of this harlot. Remember, the Bible doesn't come out directly and say it's the Roman Catholic institution. No, what it does do is it gives us all the clues, all the evidence, and then we're left with no doubt at all. We are forced, in fact, to see that only one institution upon the whole earth can really fulfill this prophecy. And already, just by looking at the word whore, we've seen that the institution described here is a religion, and that it's a counterfeit of the true Church of Christ. And now we have the second clue. She sits on many waters. And this very chapter gives us the explanation of these words. We're not left to guess. We're given it in verse 15, and it's wonderful. Look at verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Here in verse 15 you have the divinely given interpretation of the waters on which the woman sits in verse 1 in this vision that John saw. The waters, we are told clearly, represent peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages of the earth. And once again we're able to see that it is Rome, 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 which fulfills those words. And not merely the city of Rome, but instead of that, the religious system which reigns and rules from that city of Rome. And there's only one. There's only one. It's the religion known as Roman Catholicism. There only ever has been one. Just look also at verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. How clear this is. It really is. It's beautifully clear. It's simple. This woman, this harlot, is a city, and it's the city that rules over the kings of the whole earth. Now, when John was alive in the first century AD, and he was given this great revelation by the Lord, when he lived and when he was given this, which city reigned over the world in John's day? There's only one answer, isn't there? It's the city of Rome. No other city reigned over the whole world as this city did. But more than that, which city ever since that time has always been at the very center of world politics and world intrigues, and even today it harbors the headquarters of the most powerful and influential religion on the whole world, in the whole world? Again, the answer is the city of Rome. Rome is at the center. It has been at the center for more than 2,000 years. In a very real sense, it can be called the capital of the world. You see, this great city is depicted as a woman. And I've been showing you that the fact that it's depicted as a woman really proves it to be a religious system that's meant by these words. Now, there's only one world religion, only one, notice that, which has its headquarters in the city of Rome, and that religion is Roman Catholicism. No other world religion has its headquarters in that city. Can you see how the doors are closing on any other interpretation of what the great harlot is? There is only one thing it can be. And amazingly, the present Antichrist, Pope John Paul II, told the politicians of Rome on January the 29th, 1987, and I'm quoting his words, that they must not forget, quote, the proper mission of Rome and its spiritual characteristics, which make it the city established on the mountain to which are turned the eyes of the entire world, unquote. He admitted what Bible prophecy reveals, and he didn't even know he was doing it. He admitted it. It is the city established on the mountain to which are turned the eyes of the entire world. Or in the words of verse 15, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. In verse 18, the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Even Roman Catholic writers admit that this city mentioned in chapter 17 is Rome. But you see, they're very clever about it. They say it means heathen Rome, not papal Rome. Not the Rome that's ruled by the popes, but the old Rome of many centuries ago that was ruled by the emperors and the Caesars. That's just a smokescreen, that's all it is. There can be no doubt at all. It is not that. Well, she sits upon many waters. We read that now in verse 1, interpreted by verse 15. The people and the nations of the earth. And really, no other religious system has held greater sway over the world than the Roman Catholic system. And throughout the centuries, She's constantly increased her power and her influence over one nation after another, and she's still doing the very same thing today. Today there are over 1,000 million Roman Catholic people worldwide. That's 1 billion people. More than 1 in 5 of the world's population is today Roman Catholic. And where are they found? They're found in almost every nation under the sun. And they're found speaking almost every tongue that is spoken upon the earth, exactly as verse 15 tells us, interpreting verse 1. Almost all of Europe belongs to her. Much of Canada and the United States and Australia are today in her hands. Central and South America are completely under her dominion. Vast swathes of Africa are under her. Her influence is felt really far more than many realize throughout Asia. In Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, German, French, English, and so many other tongues, her false gods are worshipped. The Bible says many waters. Many. Not just a few here and there. Many. That's important too. Not just a few. And look how exactly this prophetic description is fulfilled in her own name for herself. And this is something that is lost on the Roman Catholic people themselves. She calls herself what? The Roman Catholic Church. What? Think about it. What does the word Catholic mean? Do you even know? You should, and you should never forget it. The word Catholic means embracing all, universal. That's the meaning of that word. Well, that being so, how absolutely perfectly, really, the description given here by the Holy Spirit fits this religious system. She sits upon many waters, peoples, multitudes, nations, tongue. So her very name is the Roman Universal Church. And that very name fulfills the Word of God, the prophetic Word of God, perfectly. And there's something more, very significant. It says, as you saw, she sits on these many waters. She sits on them. Every word given by God the Holy Spirit is inspired. Every word has a purpose, and none of them are just coincidental, and none of them we can say, well, another word would do. She sits. It doesn't say she stands on them. It doesn't say she holds them. She sits on them. Now that sitting is a picture of her total, suffocating, oppressive control and dominion over the nations of the earth. That's true enough, isn't it, about Rome? It's always been true. In all the lands where this evil religious system has conquered, this has been true. Wherever Roman Catholicism comes, it comes with crushing tyranny, oppressive tyranny. It's the most intolerant, hate-filled religious system on the face of the earth. And wherever it's to be found, wherever, it doesn't matter where, it seeks to dominate and crush the people that it rules over. It keeps them down. It keeps them as slaves at the feet of the Pope. It ruthlessly stamps out any opposition that arises against it. It stifles human ingenuity. It forbids human progress. History is full of examples of that. Galileo is the classic example. It forbids human progress. And wherever it goes, ignorance and superstition follow in its wake. That is the truth, brothers and sisters. And any reading of history, of the history of the last 2,000 years, will show that to be so. Wherever it goes, ignorance follows. Superstition follows. You look at the lands that are Roman Catholic in this day and you see it to be so. It always seeks to take political power over a land and over a people. And whenever it succeeds in doing that, then life for the people in that place is life lived under this dark, sinister shadow of the Pope and of the priests of Rome. It's been well said, truly said by the Holy Spirit, that this woman sits upon many waters. Now we must move on to the next verse, verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And I said earlier that Romanism is a harlot because in the first place, I said we'd get to this verse, but in the first place, as we saw, while she claims to love and worship only the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth is she does not love him, she does not worship him, she worships and serves many other gods. The wafer god, Mary, the saints, the angels, the statues, the images, all of it. Now in this verse you see the second reason why she's called a harlot. And it's this, that the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Again, please understand it. This does not mean physical fornication. It can't mean that, because the woman is not a literal woman. She's a mystical woman. She's an institution, a religious and political institution. So the fornication here can't mean that the kings of the earth commit physical fornication with her, because she's not a physical woman. But it does mean spiritual fornication. And what it's saying is that the earth's kings sinfully have entered into alliances and pacts with her and treaties with her. And they've flirted. I could use that word because of the way the language of the Holy Spirit puts it here. They've flirted with this evil religious system known as popery. They've joined themselves to it, and they've done so in very unholy unions that can very fitly be compared with the unholy union of a man with a prostitute. Exactly that. They have, so to speak, become one flesh with the Roman Catholic institution. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The very first king to ever commit this fornication with the great whore was the Roman Emperor Constantine in the 4th century AD. He was the first one. He ruled over the vast Roman Empire, and he claimed to be converted to the so-called Catholic religion. And then, for political and personal reasons, he declared the Catholic religion to be the state religion, the state church of the whole Roman Empire. And it was a vast empire, as you know. Everyone throughout the whole Roman Empire was expected to become Catholic by religion. And those who didn't were persecuted by the authorities. And with that, the priests of the Catholic religion were given more and more power, and they exerted an ever-increasing influence over the social life and the political life and the religious life of the people, of all the different peoples of the great Roman Empire. So in other words, Constantine the emperor united the political state, the empire, to the Catholic religion. And that's why we can truly say he was the first to commit fornication with the harlot. Do you understand? He formed an unholy union, an unholy alliance between church and state. And the result of that evil alliance was the terrible persecution of true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Constantine was the first. He certainly wasn't the last political ruler to commit fornication with the harlot by any means. He was followed by countless others through the centuries, because the great whore is always struck alliances with the powers of the day, the military powers, the political powers, and used it to her advantage. Literally, history is replete with examples. I can't even begin right now to possibly go into all of them. There are so many over so many hundreds of years. But even in the 20th century, we saw some of the very worst unholy unions between the state and the Roman Catholic institution. Adolf Hitler and the Nazi government of Germany during the Second World War, they committed fornication with this great whore. Hitler himself was a Roman Catholic, and he actually fashioned the Nazis along the lines of the Jesuit Order of Rome. And he entered into a terrible alliance, a concordat, with the Vatican, and this played an immense part in the Holocaust of the Jews during World War II. And then various communist governments in the 20th century have committed fornication with her. Millions have died as a result of that fornication committed with her, through her, between her and communist governments. And the United States of America as well has formed a very powerful alliance with the Vatican. And today the United States military is doing the Pope's bidding all over the world. One U.S. president after another is seen to be committing fornication with the powerful hierarchy that rules from the city of Rome and rules the world from Rome. And today around the world you can find that most of the countries of the world are committing fornication with the great harlot. She has diplomatic representation with over 100 nations of the earth. Why are they doing this, you might ask? Why? They're doing it because the rulers of the earth know that they need her. They need her, and they know they need her. They need her approval, they need her power, and they need her influence. Because you see, there are over 1 billion people belonging to that religion around the world, and they're scattered throughout most of the nations of the earth. And because of that, the rulers of those nations know that they need to keep these citizens happy, or they won't stay in power. So they play up to the harlot. They entertain the Pope. They seek his approval and his blessing. That's the reason they commit fornication with the great whore. Turn with me to James chapter 4. James 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Well, Rome has always been the friend of the world. And the kings of the earth have bowed to her authority, they've worshipped her, they've entered into alliances with her and pacts with her, because they know she has power even over many of their own citizens. And they know that their own citizens owe their allegiance first and foremost to her, because they are Roman Catholics first by religion. Only secondarily do they owe any allegiance to political rulers. And in addition to that, over and over, they themselves, the kings of the earth, have literally been fascinated by her. They're mesmerized by her, and they're seduced by her religion. And they're adulterers and adulteresses who have found friendship with the world, for Rome is part of the world and is at enmity with God. Well, in these first two verses of chapter 17, we've seen enough, really, enough evidence already just to firmly establish the identity of the great whore. We'll continue looking at these verses and the rest of them the next time, but in closing today, I want you to consider what the value of all this is to us as believers. Why do we have to know these things? What good will it do to us? Let's just turn to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7. It says, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And that verse shows the value and the importance of carefully studying the book of Revelation. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. How can you do that if you don't know the meaning of the book? And you won't know the meaning of the book without a clear understanding of this key chapter, chapter 17. And if the Lord God, by the Holy Spirit, actually saw fit to give us this wonderful detailed revelation of the great whore, well then, obviously, it's very important for us to know about it and to understand it. Not so. It's in his word, and that's good enough reason to carefully study the whole matter and to be absolutely clear about it. The Holy Spirit wants the Church of Christ to know these things. And the reason that he wants us to know them is because the Roman Catholic system, in it, you have the greatest counterfeit of the true Church of Christ that has ever existed on earth or ever will. That's the fact. The Lord Jesus has his true church on the earth, and the true church consists of every believer in him around the world at any given time. But you must always be well aware that the devil has his own church. It's a satanic counterfeit of the true one, and it's a vast, powerful organization that leads millions astray and deceives and dominates the world. Yes, there are other false churches in the world as well. We know that. The JWs come to mind, the Mormons, there are many. And there are also other false religions, we all know that. Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, all of these things. And yes, we must know something about them as well, because then we can evangelize those who follow their false doctrines. Of course. But none of them, none, not one, are such a threat to the true gospel and to the true Church of Christ as this one is. This is truly Satan's masterpiece. This is his crowning glory. In our day, for example, we see the power of Islam. It's a fanatical religion, yes. It's extremely dangerous, very powerful. It's growing rapidly. But Satan has caused many people to sort of stare at this Muslim religion and become mesmerized by it, and they think that this is the greatest evil on earth. It's not. As evil as it is, and I'm not denying that, because it truly is a satanic religion, but as evil as it is, Romanism is worse. It's a greater danger because it's a more subtle, vile evil even than Muhammad's false religion. Let's learn as much as we can about this great harlot, and truly how we should praise the Lord our God for saving our souls and giving us such a perfect revelation of this masterpiece of the devil as he has given us in his word, so that we're not deceived by it, that we can see it for what it is. It's a harlot dressed up as a church, and we must expose it as such. Know as much as you can about this harlot, yes, but then turn your eyes away from her and behold the true virgin bride of Christ, and behold Christ himself, and then your hearts will be filled with joy as you thank the Lord for what he's done for you. The devil has his church, but Christ Jesus has his very own bride, and we are part of it by his grace. Praise his name. He is our shepherd. The Pope isn't, he is. We follow him, and we're led by him, and we're taught by him, and we're kept by his almighty power unto the end. Praise be to his name. Amen.
The message you have just heard is entitled The Great Whore, Part 1 by Sean Wilcock and was recorded in May 2000. This tape may be copied for free distribution if it is copied in full without being altered or edited in any way and if it is labeled correctly.